In my recent trip to Waco and Houston, Texas, I gave 4 sermons, both morning and afternoon in both cases, which will come on the CD that this message is on. The first one was the wedding covenant. The second one was the covenant of eternal life. Then the third one was the true riches of God, number one, and the true riches of God, number two. So today we are going to cover the covenant of lies and death. Covenant of lies and death. Now, that not only includes physical death, but it can include spiritual death. And we are right now in a situation in the world that we're far beyond the place, let's turn to Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15, we are far beyond the place of what Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15 tell us. Nevertheless, it is still operative. But what we have is this. In a percentage of good and evil in the world, in a percentage of truth and lies in the world, in a percentage of mixture of good and evil in the world, we are coming more and more to the point that there is more evil and more people dedicated to evil and more people setting their minds to evil than ever before and starting at a younger age than ever before. So here's what God says concerning His Word. Let's pick it up here in verse 10. If you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep His commandments. And so I want everyone who has a Bible in your house, I want you to think about this. Have you read it? Do you understand it? Do you realize that that is a message from God to you? You want to know what God would say to you if you had a personal conversation with Him? It's in the Bible. And that's why Jesus came in the flesh, to let all men know what they are to do. Number one, to please God, and there are two categories of pleasing God. Number one is in the letter of the law. For any society or country or nation in the world. Number two, those who are called and receive the Spirit of God after they have entered into the covenant of eternal life through baptism, and they are to love God and serve Him and keep His commandments in the spirit of the law. And with the full devotion of heart, mind, and soul to God. So as we read these, keep those two things in mind, because it applies in both ways. Obey the voice of the Lord your God. Key thing, whatever God says. Now, let's stop here, because there are too many atheists out there. There are too many people who don't believe in God. There are too many people who think that God has done away with the Old Testament. There are too many people who believe the Antichrist doctrines, which are just absolutely consuming Protestantism, to say nothing of Catholicism, that you don't understand what the Bible really says. To keep His commandments and His statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Okay. For this commandment which I command you, and we can apply this Old Testament and New Testament, is not hidden from you, neither is it far from you. It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? You don't need to hire NASA to send it to some far-off planet to find out where God is and bring it back to you. Neither is it beyond the sea, where you have to go to pagan heathen nations and say, oh, how did these people worship their gods? Isn't that nice and lovely? And you would say, who shall go over the sea for us to bring it to us so that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. And that's why in the Bible I have a section there, why so many Bibles in the world? Right in the first part. And the reason is because with all the catastrophes that are coming on the world, God wants everyone to have a witness to them in His Word, in their language, that they can read and understand. Now, just like anything else, if you have a Bible in your house and you don't read it, that's not God's fault. Through whatever means, God caused you to have it. And it's your responsibility to read it. Very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that means in a language that you can understand, so that you may do it. Now here's the key. This is the choice that God has set before everyone. Behold, I've set before you this day life and good, death and evil. Every human being has that choice set before them. You're a free moral agent, you must choose. The information to choose good is there. The information to choose evil is there. Life and good and death and evil. So since I've given the covenant of eternal life and the true riches of God, number one and two, we're going to focus on what most people in this world are doing, and they don't realize that they are in a covenant of death. Continuing verse 16, in that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, because God wants to do you good, to walk in His ways, and you can expand all of this through all the teachings of Jesus in the New Testament, and His statutes and His judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. Now, how many times have you heard, oh, we live in the greatest country on God's earth? True. Did God bless us? Yes. What's happening today? More people are in covenant with death than they are with God. So we are getting, as a nation, what the majority of the people have in their lives: evil and sin multiplied hundreds of millions of times. Verse 17, here's a warning. I want you to think about this warning. Verse 17, but if your heart turn away so that you will not hear, oh, I don't want all those, you know, the Old Testament, oh, the Bible, you know, I don't believe in the Bible. And I can tell you why a lot of people don't believe in the Bible, because most of the religions that they see, which are called Christian, are not Christian, and they don't follow the Bible. They use the Bible for their own pet little doctrines. That's why in the Bible, in its original order, we have how to study the Bible. We also have in there, how did Jesus fulfill the law and the prophets? We have in there, why God gave us the Bible. All of those things are there. But if you will not hear, because there are some people who don't want to, but I can also say this. If you look at Catholicism, let's just take the example of the Jews. They reject Jesus, but they read the Old Testament, and they look at the Catholic Church and say, that can't be originating from the God of the Old Testament with all of the idolatry and all of the paganism and all of that. And they're absolutely right. That is not of God and never has been from day one. And then you look at the Protestants, and they're just Reformed Catholics. You will not hear. So I can't blame you for rejecting it. And I can't blame some of the atheists, and you read what they write, and most of it is attacks against the Roman Catholic Church. Well deserved. However, I appeal to anyone who is an atheist. Why don't you set aside your prejudice, and why don't you set aside your hatred of the religions called Christian that you see, and why don't you just pick up the Bible and you start reading and studying it? And why don't you do just one thing that will help you understand it? For 2 months, keep the seventh day Sabbath every week and study the Bible on the seventh day Sabbath. And I guarantee you that at the end of 2 months, you're going to have a lot of your prejudice and your hatred toward the Bible reduced. And if you keep at it, you will find God. God did not give her a religion. Men have taken the word of God and have overlaid it with so many traditions that you can't find God in religion. You will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, and that's what we have today. Oh, everybody's religion is the same. We're all going to the same place. True statement. Death and destruction. Because you're not in covenant with the true God. Now notice what God says. I want you to understand the severity and the ironclad force behind what God is giving here. I denounce to you this day that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days on the land where you pass over Jordan to possess it. And all you have to do is read the rest of the history of the house of Judah and the house of Israel. And what did they do? Exactly as God warned them not to do. And what happened to them? Exactly as God said. He sent them off by the sword. He sent them famine. He sent them pestilence. He scattered them into the earth. I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. And anyone who has a Bible, this is set before you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life so that both you and your seed may live. That you may love the Lord your God and may obey his voice and may cleave to him, for he is your life and length of days. Only God gives life and only God gives breath and only God keeps us going. Whether you're a sinner, whether you're a saint. For he is your life and length of days, so that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give it to them. And that's what we are living in today. That's why we are the most blessed nation in the earth. Now, the tipping point has arrived, and we are going to become progressively the most cursed nation on earth. Now, let's look at this. Why is this happening? How did we get to this point? Now let's cover some very basic things that we need to understand. Let's start with the basic and the simple. Number one, what is sin? Sin is not the transgression of a tradition of Judaism or Catholicism or Hinduism or Buddhism. Sin is, let's come here to 1 John. 1 John, the third chapter. This tells us what sin is. Now, in the King James, it says, sin is the transgression of the law, which defines it quite well. But it's actually greater than that, as we will see. 1 John 3 and verse 4. Everyone who practices sin... What do you mean practice sin? I'm a good person. I go to church. Even Newdow, the atheist, said, I'm religious. Okay. Now again, I want to bring out the three most important principal things in a brief overview of the way of God versus the way of Christianity of the world. Three things. One, seventh-day Sabbath. And don't be fooled by the modern calendars that come out which now put Sunday as the seventh day. That's a lying sleight of hand. So that stupid, ignorant people will look at the calendar and say, oh, look, Mommy, Sunday is the seventh day. Never was, never has been. You can put it at the end of the week, but that doesn't change what God created. Okay? That puts you in contact with God and how to find Him. Number two, the Passover. The Passover is fundamental and key, and it should not be called, as we will give you the other names in just a minute. It is the Passover, and that's what Jesus took, and that puts you in a covenant relationship with God for eternal life. Number three, the holy days of God tell you the plan of God and what He is doing. Now, since the world and world's Christianity does not follow those, but rejects them with adamant hatred, they don't know the plan of God, they don't understand salvation, and they are dying because they are in a covenant of death and don't realize it. Now, the three things of Orthodox Christendom, which are juxtapositioned as the mirror image, but it is a counterfeit. Number one, Sunday keeping. God never at any time, anywhere, any place changed the Sabbath from the seventh day to the first day. And if you don't have our booklet, A Sabbath Sunday Challenge You Have Never Read, you get it. Keeping Sunday cuts you off from God, although you may use portions of the Bible. Number two is the Lord's Supper, Communion, Eucharist, called by those three names, puts you in covenant with death rather than life, because the only covenant of life comes through the Passover. Number three, the occult holidays of the world are an exact counterfeit of the holy days of God. Now, that's as fundamental as you can get. All right? Everyone who practices sin, so if you're not living according to the commandments of God, you are sinning, practicing it. If you go to church every day on Sunday, you're practicing sin. If you keep all the holidays of this world, you are practicing sin. Every time you go to communion and take the Eucharist or the sacrifice of the Mass, you are committing sin. And you take the Lord's Supper every Sunday, how come you take it in the morning on Sunday if it's the Lord's Supper? You are sinning. Yes, come over to my house at 9 o'clock at night and I'll feed you breakfast. Okay? And if you keep the holidays of this world, you are practicing sin. Oh, but these are such good times. Yes. Satan wants you happy in your deception. He wants you to have pleasure in sin. He's also practicing lawlessness. Now, why is it translated that way? Because that's what the Greek means. Now, what is lawlessness? Lawlessness is this. Instead of choosing the way of God, you choose your own version of what you want to do. And you add to the laws of God, or you take away the laws of God for your own personal pleasure. For your own personal convenience, because you like this and you don't like that, and you like this and you don't like that. So you're going to have the audacity and the stupidity and the ignorance to tell God what you're going to do for Him. Now, when the judgment comes around, it's going to be the other way around. God is going to find out, what did you do with my word? And who was the first one to amend what God commanded? Cain. He brought a sacrifice that God did not command. And what did he call it? Sin. Sin lies at the door. Where did he bring it? Right at the door of the Garden of Eden, where there was an altar to bring offerings. But even if you, according to your own will, that you bring an offering, you do it God's way. Lawlessness. For sin is lawlessness. All right, let's analyze that a little bit more. Let's take all the traditions of Judaism added to the Old Testament. That's lawlessness. all the traditions of the Roman Catholic Church. Lawlessness. All the traditions of Protestantism and what they preach, lawlessness. And as I had a discussion with a woman on a radio program when I was on with Gianni Hayes, oh, Paul brought a greater gospel than Jesus did. Lawlessness. We don't have to keep the commandments of God. Lawlessness. The world is given over to lawlessness. Now, how did it get that way? Let's come here to chapter 5 and verse 17. Here again it is defined a little more. All. Now what does all mean? Each and every one. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. That is a sin that you can repent of. But we're going to find out that those who are in a covenant of death, they fall into two categories. Those who are there and don't know it, those who are and can repent of it, those who are there and know it, and openly worship, as we will see, Satan the devil, they are going to have a very difficult time escaping the ultimate fate of the covenant of death, which is the lake of fire, which is not separation from God. It is eternal death. You no longer exist. Now, verse 18. We know that anyone who is begotten by God does not practice sin. Now, the King James slaughters this and in chapter 3 as well. That's one of the principal reasons why this version was translated. For the one who has been begotten by God, that is, has the Spirit of God in him, keeps himself by the power of God. Because through the Holy Spirit of God and the laws of God and the Word of God, he knows how to conduct his life, or she knows how to conduct her life. And the wicked one does not touch him. Now that's very profound. Now you think about this. We'll talk about the wicked one here in just a little bit. Now that's Satan the devil. What did Jesus pray for the saints? He said, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one or the wicked one. What are we to pray every day? Matthew, the 6th chapter. Rescue us from the evil one. Now we'll see why here in just a little bit. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and it has given us an understanding so that we may know him who is true. So you can know God. Hold your place here. We'll come right back. Come over here to chapter 2. Chapter 2. Because we're going to talk a lot about liars in covering what is the covenant of death. And remember, they're religious. And remember, they are sanctimonious. Verse 3, 1 John 2. By this standard, we know that we know him. So if you want to know God, here it is. If we keep his commandments. Oh, those are not the Ten Commandments. Those are the commandments of Jesus. That's why we don't have to keep the Sabbath. Oh, really? What day did Jesus keep? He kept the Sabbath. Did he keep it because he was a Jew? No, he kept it because he was the creator of it. And notice, if we keep his commandments, verse 4. The one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So you can rest assured this very clearly. It does not matter how smooth-talking, how sanctimonious that the person may be, how religious the person may be, how many sermons he has given, that his life looks to be very righteous. If he doesn't keep the commandments of God and teaches them, he is a liar. And that's all part of the covenant of death. Now, verse 5, on the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word. Now, that's vastly more expansive than commandments, right? His word, whatever he said. Truly, in this one, the love of God is being perfected. By this means, we know that we are in him. Now, how are you to live your life? Verse 6. See, so John, this little epistle of 1 John, contains an awful lot of powerful material, doesn't it? Yes, indeed. Verse 6. Anyone who claims to dwell in him is obligating himself also to walk even as he himself walked. Question. Did Jesus worship the true God? Yes. Did he keep the Sabbath? Yes. Did he keep Passover? Yes. Did he keep the holy days? Yes. Did he love his neighbor as himself? Yes. Did he love God with all his heart, mind, and soul and being? Yes. How are you to walk? If you receive the Spirit of God and Christ is in you, that's how you're to walk. God made it simple. You can do it because God gives you the Holy Spirit to be able to do it. Now, let's come back here to 1 John 5 again. Verse 19, we know that we are of God. And if you don't know where God is, God gave a promise, seek and you will find. But you have to do it God's way, and you have to read and study the Bible to find out. Now, we have our website where we have many, many sermons, articles, and so forth. We have books that we send to you at no cost. You can write and get those. And that the whole world lies in the power of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, and in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. So he ends with this little short verse. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. So the next time you walk into your local cathedral and you see all of these idols around, just know for sure, God is not there. God is not in Rome. There is a God who is in Rome, but it's not the true God. Now, let's continue on. Let's talk a little bit more about the commandments. Let's come to James, the second chapter. I want to explain something here. James chapter 2, verse 8, page 1127. If you are truly keeping the royal law, now that includes an awful lot. Why is it called the royal law? Because God is God and King. He is lawgiver. And another thing that James says a little later in chapter 4, which is this, so you need to think about this. If you judge the law, you are judging the lawgiver. And as a judge, you are no longer a doer, but a lawbreaker. So I paraphrased a little bit. So you need to understand that. What man is going to walk up to God and say, God, you do this? Or God, I think this is a better way of doing it than what you've written in your Bible here. Well, you might try the book of Job on for size and see how that fits. Because Job thought that God was unfair and that his righteousness was greater than God. So the book of Job is therefore a perpetual lesson to everyone who thinks that they're greater than God. It ain't ever going to happen. And one day, God is going to look you in the eyes, just like he did with Job, and say, answer me. Now, James 2 and verse 8. If you are truly keeping the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. But if you have respect of persons, you are practicing sin, being convicted by the law as transgressors. Just exactly fits right in with the book of 1 John, right? Now, verse 10, And a lot of people use this as an excuse, verse 10, because they read it. For if anyone keeps the whole law but sins in one aspect, he becomes guilty of all. So therefore, why even try to keep it? Because all men are sinners. That's not the meaning of it. He wants to give you an example, and I will also point out some things to you concerning it. Verse 11, for he who said, you shall not commit adultery. What law is he talking about? The Ten Commandments, right? Yes. Also said, you shall not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you commit murder, you become a transgressor of the law. Now, let's take this another step further from this and see what else we can understand. Since we've talked about the Sabbath a lot, let's take the Sabbath commandment. Seventh-day Sabbath, called Saturday today. If you reject that, you're also breaking the first commandment because you're not honoring the true God. You're also breaking the second commandment of having no idols, and your idol becomes your own works and your own mind as to what you decide. That's the most virulent idol of all, not necessarily just the things that men carve and bow down and worship. But nevertheless, you're breaking it. And if you're religious and you go to church on Sunday, you're taking the Lord's name in vain because he never commanded to go. So there you go. You break the fourth commandment, you break the first four altogether. And then what happens? Sooner or later, the other six fall in place and you start breaking those, right? Yes. Now, what is a result of sin? Wages of sin is death. So if you've made a covenant with death, which is a covenant of lawlessness, that's exactly what you're going to get. Now, I'm not talking about how that all die in Adam. That's another proposition. Talking about eternal death. Well, how did the world get into this state? Let's look at a couple of things here so we understand what's going on. All right. Let's come to Isaiah 25 and verse 8. Isaiah 25 and verse 8. Isaiah 25 and verse 8. Let's come back. Yes. Verse 7. This is what God has to do, which he will when Jesus returns. And that's another whole dynamic and powerful thing which is going to take place. When he sets everything correct, this is what he will have to do, verse 7. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering which covers all people. There's a covering. There's a blindness. Spiritual blindness. Why is that? Because when anyone decides they're not going to love God, keep his commandments, obey his word, you have an automatic penalty come upon you. A covering comes over your mind and your eyes. And this is what happens and has happened to the whole world. We'll see it in just a minute. And the veil that is woven over all nations. And he will destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And he shall take away from all the earth the rebuke of his people, for the Lord has spoken it. So God is eventually going to solve it. But the thing that I want to mention and emphasize here is that there is a covering or a pall that is over the whole earth today, except those that God has called out of it. Where did that come from? Well, let's come back here to the book of Revelation. Chapter 12. Chapter 12. Page 1236. Now this event is yet to happen and the whole world is going to witness this. And it's going to be something. There was war in heaven. Verse 8. And neither was there place for Satan and the demons anymore in heaven. Verse 9. And the great dragon was cast down, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan. Now, how many religions in the world have snakes as the principal thing of their religion? Well, you can search it out. That's straight from the cauldron of Satan himself. So much so that even some of the nations that have that, they eat snake meat. And one of the delicacies that they have is to go into a restaurant and select the live snake. And the waiter will take a knife and cut out the snake's heart. And while it's still beating, they eat it. Who is deceiving the whole world. Now, what does that mean? Okay, come back here to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. Because there's a day coming when Satan is going to be removed. Exactly as we read back there in Isaiah 25, that God is going to get rid of this covering. And it's just like an invisible woven net in which the whole world has been captured. Verse 1, Revelation 20. Then I saw an angel descending from heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he took hold of the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Then he cast him into the abyss and locked him up and sealed the abyss over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer. Now, after the millennium, he's going to be let loose for a short season. So if you don't have the book, Cult Holidays or God Holy Days, what you can write for it, and that'll tell you why. So if he is deceiving the whole world, that means all nations, correct? If you put it together, put the scriptures together, absolutely true. All right. Now, let's look at something else. Since God uses people, Satan uses people. Maybe you never thought of that. There are people who are in direct contact with Satan the devil and who are rewarded very, very richly for their rebellion against God and are given power and control and wealth and money. Now, you have to search out who they are, because there are many, many, many. We can just label it this way. They are the world's elite. In every government, in every nation, in every society, and here's what how they are up against it. A lot of people say, I wonder what happens when they come back to Washington, D.C. Something happens to them. Because it's filled with corruptions and lie. And God is not leading Washington, D.C. Because remember, wherever there is sin, God is nowhere to be found. Now, they can open the beginning session every day with some minister giving an invocation duly read. Some may give it from the heart. But unless those back in Washington, D.C. who are the elected officials, and as one television commentator says, you work for me. You don't tell me what to do. I tell you what to do. And until they understand they are to work for the people and they are to do it in a righteous way, they are in the grips and in the hands of Satan the devil. Now, Ephesians 6. All right. Let's read it. Now, those who have the Spirit of God have a battle against that in the world, because we live in the world, but we are not part of the world, and God gives us His strength to overcome. Verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the might of His strength. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the world rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual power of wickedness in high places. That describes every single government on earth. And every government on earth has a varying proportion of good and evil. And most of them now, because of the economic situation that is transpiring, are given over to evil more than ever before. Against spiritual the spiritual power of wickedness in high places. Satan the devil is there, not God, though we found the donation on the word of God, almost. And the Achilles heel was that those who were Protestant still retained Sunday. That's why we are here today, where we are. All right, let's continue on here. So Satan is deceiving the whole world, all nations, and in all governments there is spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why we have so many lies. Why is it that politicians rarely really tell the truth? Now, there may be one or two who would dare tell the truth. But it's kind of like with the battle going on with the budget. Oh, there are no earmarks in this, but the next bill out has 9,000. Nothing like a little corruption to feather your own nest. Let's come back here to John the 8th chapter and let's see how active Satan is. John 8. Let's go to the next track, please.